He wasn't my blood uncle. He was my biological aunt's brother-in-law. My mom used to date sketchy guys when I was a teenager. I didn't live with her much because she was a horrible role model. So my grandmother raised me for a big chunk of my life, and I am thankful for that because she taught me many values and how to be a lady. I later moved in with my father and stepmother and my half-siblings when I was around 15, and I had a wonderful life with them. But let's rewind the clock to when I was 14. At the time, I lived with my mother and her sleazy boyfriend named Dale. We were on the second story of a duplex. Her boyfriend had this friend who would come over occasionally, who looked just like the white guy from Jerky Boys. Same hair too. He always creeped me out because he kept staring at me, and I would always catch him in the act. My aunt lived down the block, and I would visit her quite frequently, because she was one of those cool aunts. She was in her 20s, super fun, and had this 1969 Firebird convertible that she would drive around in and blast rock music. When I would visit her house, I would sometimes run into her brother-in-law. His name was Jeff. Uncle Jeff. He was renting out her basement. I kind of thought he was weird, but an okay guy. So one night at around 11:30, I was home by myself when I get a knock on the door. Our door had a square glass panel toward the top that was painted over with a small peephole scratched into it. When I looked through, I could see that it was Jeff on the other side. I opened the door.
Oh, hey Jeff. What's up?
Hey, is your mom or Dale home?
No, mom's at work, and I don't know where Dale is.
He then asked me to come downstairs because he wanted to talk to me. This didn't raise any red flags because I considered him family. I was also pretty timid and didn't like saying no to people, especially adults. So I follow him downstairs to the front porch. I see his car is parked and still running with the headlights on. Sitting in the passenger seat with the window rolled down was the other creepy guy I alluded to earlier, Jerky Boy. I paused.
What's he doing here?
Hey, relax. We just want to talk. We wanted to ask you something.
He began to gently guide me toward the car. My adrenaline began pumping, and all of a sudden, I felt something wasn't right. I stopped and pulled back a little, trying my best not to look scared. Jeff kept talking sweetly, running his finger up my shoulder to fix my spaghetti strap.
Oh, it's okay. Just come closer to me. There's no reason to be afraid.
I pulled away politely and said,
Whatever it is you need to ask me, you can ask me right here.
He kept trying to convince me just to come to the car and said that if I was too scared, I could just stand in front of the headlights. The second he said that, my stomach did a leap and my whole body started to feel electrically charged because I knew if I stood in front of the headlights, I would not be able to see, making it easy for one of them to grab me. At that very moment, I knew I was in a dangerous situation, so I started acting ditzy and dumb because I was afraid to let them know that I was onto them and that they were doing something that would land them in prison. And he would just grab me right then and there, cover my mouth, and drag me into the car so that I couldn't tell anyone. So I started to playfully joke around and said that I wasn't wearing shoes and that I didn't want to step in dog shit. I could see the Jerky Boy was now starting to come out of his car. Then, I sprinted back upstairs, running as fast as I could, and locking the door behind me. I was shaking so bad. Not a minute later, Jerky Boy is knocking on the door, and he's looking through the makeshift peephole. He starts saying that he needs to talk to my mom's boyfriend, Dale. I say that he's not here, so he stops knocking. But I don't hear him descending the stairs. 30 seconds after that, Jeff comes up and knocks, and is talking to me through the door, saying that he needed to talk to Dale, and then tries opening the door. However, it's locked. For the third time, I repeat that Dale wasn't there.
Oh, I'm sorry if we scared you, sweetheart. We just wanted to talk to you.
That was bullshit. I was afraid that they were going to try to kick the door in, so I decided that I was going to try and sneak out the back. I walked toward the back door, and thank God I looked out the window first, because I saw the silhouette of Jerky Boy standing downstairs at the back door. So now, Jeff was at the front door, trying to sweet talk me, and his friend was waiting out back. I know what you're probably thinking.
Call the cops.
I don't know why I didn't. I know it's stupid. I think it was because I was so naive and timid. Jeff was my uncle after all. I was also questioning myself and my own judgments, because Jeff kept reassuring me at the front door. So I returned to the front door, and Jeff is still there, telling me that he felt horrible for scaring me. I then tell him, trying my best to disguise any hint of fear in my voice, that everything was okay, and that I was so sorry that I got scared. I tried my best to placate him and convince him that I believed what he told me. They eventually left, and once the coast was clear, I snuck out and ran to a friend's house. I didn't tell them anything about what happened. I just said that I was scared and wanted to stay there until my mom got home. I did tell my mother about what happened, but nothing ever came of it. And thankfully, I moved into my dad's house 45 miles away 3 months later. I never saw those two men again. When I was in elementary school, my parents worked long hours and wouldn't get off until it was very late in the day. I would stay in an after-school program that took place in our cafeteria. Not because I had to, but because it was more conducive with my parents' schedule. It usually consisted of doing homework and playing board games until around 5 p.m. Even then, some kids would be waiting around the pickup area for an hour or even more, and I would join them while a chaperone waited with us. I was almost always the last kid to be picked up, so whenever I would leave, so would the assigned chaperone. One day, the chaperone really needed to use the restroom. That day, we were the last ones in the pickup area. He told me not to leave until he got back. So I was sitting there on the ground against the wall, when suddenly, a car pulled up. A bearded man in a flannel shirt and dark sunglasses lowered the passenger window and said, "Come on, let's go. Your dad can't pick you up today. I'm your uncle." I just sat there gripping my backpack, staring at him, completely frozen. I didn't recognize him, and I was scared, so I didn't say anything. I was confused, and I didn't know what to do. Could this guy really be my uncle? Had something happened to my dad? The man seemed to get impatient, and with a stern voice, he said, "Get in the car now. Your dad got hurt. We need to go see him. Hurry." I still sat there, not moving. It was then that the chaperone returned, and as soon as he appeared, the car sped off. The chaperone wasn't able to get the license plate number and told my parents about it when they came to pick me up. From that day on, the school took extra precautions and assigned more chaperones to watch the children after school, which was a good thing. But I still wonder what would have happened if I believed him and naively went with him. He also must have been watching us for some time, because he showed up as soon as the chaperone left. This could have easily happened to a student who was younger than me, who wouldn't have known better. It's sad, but not everyone knows about stranger danger. Just watch your local news. When I was 15 years old, My great-uncle passed away due to a sudden heart attack. My father and I had to clean out his house, since no one else in the family could do it. My uncle was loved by all of us, and was one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. My father was broken up about losing him, but the job had to be done. His house was very neat and well organized, so we would be done in a day or two at most. I remember as a kid, we would play over at his house sometimes, whenever my parents had to work. He would allow us to play anywhere in the house, except for the attic. He made it very clear to us that going up and down the ladder to the attic was very dangerous. Therefore, we never went up there, and I never thought anything of it. Even though he would go up there sometimes for about 30 minutes, then come back down, never actually bringing anything with him or taking anything up there. While we were cleaning, I decided to finally go up to the attic just to see what was up there. It was completely empty, except for two boxes that were tucked away in a corner. Thinking nothing of it, I picked up the dusty boxes and took them downstairs to the living room. I opened them expecting to see some old papers because the boxes were so light. Instead, what I found were pictures. Hundreds and hundreds of photos of three different women. From all the angles, you could clearly tell they didn't know they were being photographed. He had pictures from daytime to night and from multiple locations. In some, they were undressed, and in others, they were doing everyday things like cleaning and cooking. My heart started to beat faster and faster. Looking closer, I realized one of the women was his wife, who had passed away several years earlier. I looked on the back of the pictures, and they were named. I didn't want to freak my family out without knowing what exactly I was looking at. So out of curiosity, I found the other two names of the women on Facebook. I was glad to find out that they were alive and okay. Once finding that out, I showed the pictures to my father, and he was just as shocked as I was. He took the boxes, and I've never seen them again, and we never spoke of it. Still, I find myself wondering why he had those pictures, and if he took them himself, or had someone else take them. I loved my great uncle very much, and I couldn't imagine him being anything less than a stand-up guy. I don't know what to make of this, to be honest. I know this may not seem like a very scary story, but it most certainly freaked my father and I out pretty bad. Before I begin, I'm from Russia. My English isn't that great, but I'll try my best. I was really struggling on whether or not I wanted to share this story, because I am still disturbed and shaken up to this day. I grew up in a wealthy family. Both of my parents had enough money to get me into the best schools in Russia, and I remember going to many places during the summer breaks. And to this day, those are still my fondest memories. My parents had steady jobs, and they were mostly happy together. However, my father was never very fond of my mother's side of the family, especially my uncle and both of my grandparents. For whatever reason, they didn't get along with my dad. My mom tried pleasing everyone, lending them money, even though they would never pay her back. However, things got to a point where they turned on each other. My uncle really wanted my grandparents' house, even though he already had a huge house of his own. However, the house would go to my mother after they passed away, to square off any debts. He didn't really like this arrangement, but couldn't do anything about it. As fate would have it, both of my grandparents died in the same year. My grandfather had a condition where his left side was completely paralyzed. He slipped into a coma for a week before he woke up. His last words to this day have resonated with me. He told my uncle that he never got what he wanted because he was a greedy bastard. A couple of hours later, my grandfather passed away. My grandmother's health deteriorated not long after that. My mother became very depressed after this and was diagnosed with breast cancer the next year. Thankfully, she is still alive today, but she is not the same as she used to be. She had to stop going to work because she couldn't handle the stress. My father tried opening up a new business because he made the mistake of listening to my cousin. My father was hesitant at first, but my mother convinced him to do it. Since she didn't have a job, this could be something that she could occupy her time with. My father invested a lot of money into opening up this new business. My cousin was also heavily involved and influenced my father in all his investments. By the time he finalized everything, our financial future depended on this business being successful. He was risking a lot. By this time I was in high school, while my sister was going to college. This was when the worst possible thing happened to my family. The business that my father invested so much money into did not go as planned, and he ended up closing it down. He tried selling it off, but nobody bought it for the longest time. We were now broke and asking loan sharks for money. We couldn't go anywhere. I was too embarrassed to tell my friends or anyone else for some reason. While all this was happening, my uncle had moved into my grandparents' house and would ignore my mom's calls, even though my grandparents' will clearly stated the house belonged to my mother. My uncle built a fence so that nobody could trespass. The police were no help at all, and we had no money to hire someone to help us move him out of there, and we also couldn't fight him in court. As bad as things were, the worst was yet to come. We ended up being evicted from our house, unable to pay our mortgage, with most of our things now belonging to the loan sharks. I spent an entire week homeless in the winter with my parents, and if you know anything about Russia, it gets rather cold there. These were the most painful days of my life. We ended up staying at a shelter. My mother tried ending her own life a couple of times, but we would always intervene. No one wanted to help my family. Until one day I got a call from a childhood friend. Her name was Olga. Her family agreed to take me in until my parents got back on their feet. Olga's father had a close friend who was a lawyer and said that he would look into the case regarding my grandparents' house. My mother was the rightful owner, but the Russian police would not lift a finger until they had a court order, which would cost money, which is something we didn't have. That's how things work over here. For the next 6 months, I stayed at Olga's place, and we grew closer than ever, and even started dating. During this time, I eventually went back to school. The lawyer told my parents that he would be able to repossess my grandparents' house. On the day of the hearing, it took the judge 2 seconds after reviewing my grandfather's will. But my uncle still refused to cooperate, which was a big mistake. Here in Russia, the police do not mess around. I remember watching him being dragged through the snow, beaten until he was unconscious, and then thrown into the back of a squad car. Now you might think that this is where things get better, but as soon as my uncle was out of jail, he tried everything in his power to make us homeless again. He hired some people to break in and rob us. Rocks would be thrown at our windows, and we would be harassed in public. We tried reporting him, but we had no proof. My grandparents' house was very isolated, and not too many people were passing by, which made it an easy target. During a walk, my sister was almost assaulted by some men, but thankfully, she was able to get away. Once my father was financially stable again, he hired a private detective to monitor our house. They captured a photo of my uncle breaking into our house. My guess is that he ran out of money to hire people to do it for him. We reported this to the police and showed them the photos. He was charged with breaking and entering. Among many other things, he was sentenced to 15 years in prison. My cousins and my aunt tried to contact us and would leave messages on our answering machine, calling us the worst names possible, and that we should have died in the freezing cold, and that someday We are going to pay for everything that we did. But eventually they stopped reaching out to us. Thank God for that. Since the events of this story, I have finished college and was able to start a successful business with some friends of mine, and I'm doing well for myself. I just hope that whenever my uncle gets out of prison, he doesn't try to start anything with my family again. One morning, when I was in elementary school, probably third or fourth grade, I was awoken by my mom in a rush. She had overslept. And since she always woke me up in the mornings, this meant that I too had overslept. And now there was no way I would be ready in time to catch the bus. My school started at 8 a.m., and the bus pickup time was around 7 o'clock, but it was already 6:40, and I was still in my pajamas, and I hadn't even had breakfast yet. So my mom decided that today, she would just tell the bus driver to go ahead, and she would take me to school that day, which would give me plenty of time to get ready. So I'm sitting there in the dining room, eating breakfast, still in my pajamas, and it's now around 6:50. We hear the bus pull up, about 10 minutes earlier than usual. My mom peeks her head out of the door, into the foggy morning, and waves the bus on. She closes the door and comes back inside, but the bus does not pull away. A short time later, we hear a knock at the door. My mom opens it and finds a man in a bus driver's uniform. He explains that he's a substitute driver because the regular guy called in sick. He tells my mom he knows he's a few minutes early, explaining that he wanted an early start since he didn't know the route too well. My mom explains to him that she's going to take me to school herself since we had woke up late. The man gets visibly upset and says that he could wait for a few minutes since he's already running ahead of schedule. My mom insists and says that I won't be ready to go in a few minutes and tells him to go on ahead. I remember that the man seemed angry about this, but turned around, got back on the bus, and left. I return to eating my breakfast, and I still don't have my school clothes on at this point. But at 7 a.m. sharp, another bus pulls up to my house. Mom thought it was weird and goes outside to talk to them. She comes back inside, looking absolutely terrified, but doesn't say anything about it and just tells me to finish up and start getting ready for school. At the time, I didn't know what happened, but Mom would end up explaining a few years later. When she went to the second bus, she found that it was being driven by the regular bus driver, and it was full of the other kids that are usually on my route. The other bus was empty, by the way. My mom asked the driver about the substitute and about him calling in sick.
"I never called in sick. There's no substitute driver on my route," he said.
The driver immediately called dispatch in a panic and told my mom to go back inside and call the police to report this incident, which she did without me knowing. There was absolutely no one covering for my bus driver that day. Whoever it was most likely a kidnapper who had targeted me. I never heard anything about it again, or even if someone else had been abducted by this mysterious fake bus driver. But chances are, if my mother hadn't overslept that day, I would have never made it to school or back home. This happened in the 90s. When I was growing up, my mom was a horrible addict. She barely took care of me as a kid. At the time of this incident, I was around 6 or 7 years old, so my awareness and understanding of things may not totally make sense. One night, my mother and I were on a car ride. I wasn't sure where we were going, but it was late at night. Looking back now, I assume it was very late because there weren't many other cars on the road, and I was resting in the back seat. I don't even remember getting into the car. My mom drove up to some sketchy house and left me in the back seat for what felt like forever. Suddenly, the car door swung open, and someone violently grabbed me by my arm and yanked me out of the car. I began screaming and crying until the man looked me in my eyes and said,
"Be quiet. Don't try to run, or I'll kill you."
He had a scruffy beard, and he looked absolutely insane. I was scared to death, so I listened. He held me tight by my arm, shut the car door, and walked with me down the street. I looked back at the house my mom was in, hoping that she would come out at the last second and save me. I stared at the house for as long as I could, as the man dragged me further and further away. As I walked down the street, I wanted to cry, but I was still in shock and too scared to do anything. I didn't even know what I was supposed to do, so I sniffled and cried as the man tightened his grip and yelled at me. I can't even describe just how frightened and confused I was. We walked for a little while longer and ended up in the projects. It was a bunch of buildings crammed together in a very shitty neighborhood. We walked into one of the buildings and up a flight of stairs. My legs and feet were hurting like hell at this point, but I was still too scared to stop moving or complain. We climbed up another flight of stairs when I saw some random guy smoking a cigarette in the hallway. Then, without warning, the guy that had kidnapped me fell to the ground. It happened so fast. The next thing I remember, the man that was smoking the cigarette was punching and kicking the kidnapper in his head and his face. He then knocked him out cold. The cigarette guy picked up the kidnapper by the back of his jacket and threw him down the stairs. A little kid witnessing this kind of violence, an unconscious man being thrown down the stairs. To this day, I still have a fear of falling down the stairs. Once he hit the bottom, blood was everywhere. I still have no idea how the cigarette guy knew I needed help, but I'm glad he did. Maybe he saw the tears in my eyes. Maybe he just picked up on something and had a bad vibe. But he acted quickly. The cigarette guy was now pacing back and forth, swearing at himself, gritting his teeth, and clenching his fists. I thought maybe he was angry with me, so I started to cry. He then looked at me and said,
"Okay, okay, okay. Shut up and stop crying."
I wasn't as scared of the cigarette guy, but I still didn't want to test him. He began to ask me questions.
"Why are you out here this late? Where are your parents? And why would you talk to strangers?"
I was in so much shock and confusion, I couldn't answer his questions correctly. He then asked if I knew my way home, and I told him I didn't. In so many words, I tried to tell him about what happened, and somehow with the information I gave him, he knew where my mom's car was. I think he knew the area well enough to figure out where I needed to go. He told me he would take me back if I promised over and over that I wouldn't tell the police that I saw him or anyone that looked like him. This guy had an attitude, but I didn't care. I just wanted to go back to my mom. So I agreed. I followed him down the stairs. The bearded man was still lying on the floor, not moving at all. For all I knew, he was dead. The cigarette guy stepped over him, and I followed. He walked outside and nervously looked around. I remember him telling me,
"The cops don't like me very much."
He walked me out of the complex. He was going so fast that I basically had to jog to keep up with him. I started crying again, and he asked me what was wrong. I told him that my feet hurt, and I remember him sucking his teeth and begrudgingly picking me up and awkwardly carried me in his arms. We walked down the street for a while. I then remember him swearing and running behind a house as a cop car was driving down the road. He put me down and he told me to run to the police cruiser. I tried, but my legs could barely move and continued down the road before I could even remotely get close to it. The cigarette guy kept swearing under his breath as he picked me up again. He took me behind a lot of the houses and hid from every cop car that drove by. In retrospect, I assumed the police were looking for me. He carried me in both arms, running fast down the road. when I saw my mom at her car in the distance. She was surrounded by the police. The cigarette guy set me down and told me to run to where my mom was. Upon seeing her, I got so excited that the pain in my legs disappeared. I ran toward the police and my mother. She picked me up and hugged me tight. After I was reunited with her, the police began to ask me and my mother questions. I don't remember much about their questioning, but I do remember my mother telling them some convoluted story that didn't make any sense. She basically told me not to say anything, and being a kid, I didn't. I just sat there and cried. We went home after that. A few days later, my dad comes and picks me up. I told him everything. And after I did, I never stayed with my mom again. Looking back to that day as an adult, I never forgave my mom. Not long ago, I asked my dad what he remembers about the situation, and he told me what he thinks happened was that my mom was there to buy drugs, and I was kidnapped by somebody who just happened to be walking down the street. The person that saved me probably had warrants, and was not angry with me, but was just frustrated with the situation that he had to deal with. Imagine being a criminal on the run, and now you have to help a kidnapped girl after you just beat up her kidnapper and possibly killed him. If he would have gotten caught with me, he may have been charged for kidnapping. With my mom lying, and me being in shock and confused, I likely wouldn't have been able to tell the police that the cigarette guy was the one that helped me. Despite whatever crimes the cigarette guy committed in his past, he was the one that helped me that night. And for that, I'll be forever grateful.